skepticism, critical thinking, and science education. Every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
CITR 101.9 FM is proud to support the Vancouver Area Cycling Coalition's Bike to Work Week from May 31st to June 6th. Join thousands of others cycling and celebrating. Bike to Work Week encourages people to try biking to work and celebrates with those that already do. During the week, visit commuter stations to enjoy free food, drinks, bike maps, bike maintenance, and fabulous prizes. You can win a new bike for recruiting the most coworkers to join your team or for recording your commute online. There's a bike a day giveaway just for logging your commute. To register and track your progress online, visit biketoworkmetrovan.ca.
Well, the party is off to a good start. Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
Ooh. The Pit Pub and Burger Bar is home of the famous Pit Night. Relax with great prices on cold beer and lots of big screen HD TVs, or chow down on charbroiled burgers, beer battered fish and chips, and Belgian fries. The Pit is open 7 days a week, and Wednesday through Saturday is open late until 2 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
My name is Jeff Francis. I play for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to 101.9 CITR.
Welcome to British Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Introduce yourself.
I am Carlin Bardsley.
Well done there, Carlin. So what's going to be going on, folks, is for the next about 25 minutes, Carlin here, is we're going to be doing it for the next little bit from 4:30 to 5. You're going to be doing a little... What are we doing here, Carlin?
Oh, we're going to look at everything going on in the world of mixed martial arts. It's all the fun of radio plus punching people in the face.
Punching people in the face.
Yes.
I pass on that, Carlin.
Well, come on. Give it a shot, Daryl.
No, thank you. Anyways, we are going to take a quick break. When we're back, it's going to be Carlin talking. So, mixed martial arts, is that what we're is that
yep,
what we're
UFC and all the rest of the mixed martial arts world that's fit to print.
There you go.
In the middle of our streets, our house.
CITR 101.9 FM is proud to support In the House Festival. From June 4th to June 6th, the festival brings performances to a living room or garden near you.
With 19 shows over 3 days in a dozen houses, this year's festival is bigger than ever. With music, dance, comedy, and theater, there's something for everyone.
In the House Festival brings together Vancouver's artistic talent in intimate settings to strengthen our neighborhoods and foster community. Tickets are available at High Life Records or online at inthehousefestival.com.
In the House Festival, June 4th through June 6th. In the middle of our streets, our
house. Welcome back, everyone. I am Carlin Bardsley, and this is In the Cage with Bards, Vancouver's home for all the goings-on in the world of mixed martial arts. And today we'll be looking at the UFC's march into our fair city coming June 12th to GM Place, the ongoing struggle with local officials, the UFC's recently successful foray into Montreal, how George St. Pierre has been spending his time lately, the ongoing dramas and traumas of Tito Ortiz, and everything else that I feel like talking about. First things first, the UFC, after a long battle with city officials, will indeed be visiting GM Place on June 12th. Despite the city allowing the sport of MMA on a two-year trial basis, the event came very close to not happening, as local officials were extremely concerned about liability issues, including being concerned that any fighter injured in the event could come back and sue the city. This being despite there being no case whatsoever of that ever happening in the history of the sport. But hey, I guess it never pays to be cautious, right? It actually took UFC threatening to move the event to Cincinnati, of all places, for city council to finally get its act together. They called an emergency meeting and resolved the outstanding issues at the 11th hour. And the result was the fastest sellout in UFC history. It sold out in just 30 minutes during a presale that took place 2 days before the general public was allowed to buy tickets, which explains why I still don't have any. Call into the station, hook a brother up if you can. Ticket prices were up to $600 for cage-side seats, but it clearly didn't dampen the enthusiasm of BC mixed martial arts fans. The 30-minute sellout broke the previous record, which was set by another Canadian city at UFC 83, which was UFC's first foray into La Belle Province and the Bell Centre in Montreal. Now, this should be considered great news, right? City Council's reservations must be alleviated as the voting public's overwhelming support, right? Well, not so fast. This is Vancouver City Council we're talking about. While Mayor Gregor Robertson has come out publicly in favor of the event, being quoted as saying, "We've worked hard to bring Vancouver to the UFC, and I want to thank UFC and Canuck Sports Entertainment for making the event possible," the rumors are persisting that UFC and MMA regulation in Vancouver could be a one-shot deal. Vancouver Athletic Commission Chairman Mirko Mladenovic recently stated that the city of Vancouver does not want to be in the sanctioning business. After the UFC, we're going to be at a major impasse. Now, this is happening despite the projections that the economic boom to the city will run anywhere between $4 and $10 million. I mean, hey, in days like this, that's chump change, right? Mladenovic himself said the cost of holding an event in Vancouver is astronomically high because of liability insurance, taxes, and other requirements the city is demanding from promoters. Now, while a global juggernaut like the UFC is able to front these costs, it does make it nearly impossible for a promoter looking to run a smaller show to be able to do so, despite council approving this for this two-year trial window. It makes even holding an event cost prohibitive for a global organization like UFC. As large as they are and as deep of pockets as they have, it doesn't matter how much public support there is, you know, it doesn't look like there's going to be a return engagement for the UFC in Vancouver as things stand now. Because even Mladenovic says bluntly, the UFC is not going to make any money off this show. Promoter Mark Pavlich, who runs the Alberta-based Maximum Fighting Championships, which is one of the largest MMA organizations in Canada and appears on US TV on the HDNet network, owned by billionaire maverick Mark Cuban, he was interested in running quarterly shows here in Vancouver, probably at the PNE Agridome. But when council approved the trial regulation, Mark signed up. He wanted to know who to talk to. He continually got the runaround from both council and the Vancouver Athletic Commission. And so now he has abandoned those efforts. He did quote as saying, "When I heard that Vancouver was allowing MMA, I jumped on it. But it's comical. I vowed never go to a place that would make me go broke, and that's what Vancouver is to me. I don't have $12 or $15 million just for insurance. And quite frankly, who does?" Now, forgive me for being the one to make obvious statements and ask obvious questions, but the actions of council and the Athletic Commission make it seem like they don't want MMA events in Vancouver to be a success. Every other venue that's hosted a mixed martial arts event around the world has had to deal with the same issues, liability, taxation, what have you, yet none of them resorted to demanding ungodly amounts of money from promoters for insurance, of all things. So this begs the question, why vote for regulation of the sport if you're going to make it so almost no one can hold an event. The record-selling settled for GM Place shows it's clearly not an issue of public support, yet City Council seems either unwilling or unable to get out of its own way to allow MMA events. UFC Vice President of Regulatory and Government Affairs Mark Ratner visited Vancouver over a week ago to work out the final details of June event. Now, Ratner used to be the executive director of the Nevada State Athletic Commission and now is essentially UFC's chief lobbyist. He goes around to all the governments, explains and educates about the sport, and sees what he can do to advance the cause of regulation and whatnot. Now, he did stop short of openly criticizing the city, but he did say, "We want a provincial commission like they have in Quebec. It's easier when you're not dealing with Vancouver, North Vancouver, and Burnaby, and each other city on its own. The city makes you go through extra steps like indemnity issues." Now, if this is only a one-time affair, the UFC is going to come to town with all guns blazing. We'll jump out of the political arena and into the combat arena with a look at the main event that's coming to GM Place on June 12th, right after the break.
When you experiment with cut-ups over a period of time, you find that some of the cut-ups seem to refer to future events. Well, we went on to exploit the potentials of the tape recorder.
Now, back to modern times.
Tapes, tape recorders.
Cut up, slow down, speed up, run backwards, inch the tape. That means work it back and forth across the tape head.
Hey, girl. Move a little closer.
Play several tracks at once. Cut back and forth between two recorders.
Copyright infringement. Piracy.
Oh, no, I pressed the wrong button again.
So cut-ups put you in touch with what you know and do not know that you know.
Exquisite Corpse, Thursday, 7:30 to 9 p.m. on the mighty CITR Radio 101.9, Vancouver.
This is not all rock and roll, dude.
Around and start a ride. Niggas gon' fight regardless, because I'm the hardest rap artist and I'm starting shit up for real. Get up and feel. I work, I make curves, spit up the script. That's all I've been hearing lately. Niggas hate me when I duct tape you make me. When they break on the wall, when I brawl, too late for that 911 call. Niggas stay beefing, but a lot of them bluff. And not me, because I'm a nigga that can get out of them cuffs. I think a lot of them stop, that's just a front. When I hit them niggas like, what you want? The battle turns into a hunt.
Problem, all right?
That is Intro by DMX off the album It's Dark and Hell is Hot. Very easy lessons there. And MMA fans know that song better as the walkout music of the Iceman, Chuck Liddell, who is going to be headlining UFC's first Vancouver event June 12th at GM Place. The UFC Hall of Famer and former light heavyweight champ, the Iceman, despite getting knocked out in his last two outings in the octagon, remains one of UFC's most popular stars, and he's looking to get back in the win column against former middleweight champ Rich Ace Franklin. Franklin's return to the 205 division comes as a replacement for Liddell's nemesis and opposing coach on the Ultimate Fighter reality show, Tito Ortiz. We'll have more on the Ortiz situation in just a bit, but despite the change in opposition, Liddell is still looking to come out with a focused yet aggressive striking offense to punish Franklin and reestablish himself as a top contender. He'll be looking to throw those big looping punches and maybe even shock the crowd with a head kick or two, Babalu style. Now, Franklin, for his part, will be looking to use his speed and overall athleticism to hand the 40-year-old Liddell his third straight loss and force the Iceman to start thinking a little bit about retirement or maybe return to engagement on Dancing with the Stars. But I think that's even worse than being retired. Now, as for Ortiz, even though he appeared on this season's Ultimate Fighter show on Spike TV opposite Chuck to hype the third fight against each other, it appears the self-proclaimed Huntington Beach bad boy has fallen on tough times and has pulled out of the fight. Spike TV is promoting the reveal of Ortiz's departure on tomorrow night's episode. Cheap plug. And Ortiz was recently arrested for suspicion of domestic violence at the home he shares in Huntington Beach with his wife, adult film star Jenna Jameson. Ortiz blamed the spat on Jameson's OxyContin addiction, and the two have since reconciled. So all's well that ends well. It really is a fairy tale romance. Now, but before this season's Ultimate Fighter series ends, and before UFC rolls into Vancouver, this Saturday in Las Vegas, the company is presenting the grudge match between Quentin Rampage Jackson and Rashad Evans. The two coached against each other on the previous season of The Ultimate Fighter, but had their fight delayed when Jackson took time off to film his role as B.A. Baracus in the A-Team movie coming out this month. Now, who can blame Rampage for doing that, really? I mean, if I had a chance to go and pretend I was Mr. T for a few months instead of getting in a fist fight, you know what, I might do it. So the two have been trash-talking each other for months now with all the bad blood that's built up since the show. And the latest shots were fired at UFC 114's media call. Jackson told Evans that he doesn't think Rashad is on his level, he has a glass jaw, and that he had better prepare for some black-on-black crime. While Evans called Rampage a quitter and to quit acting stupid, which sounds like, you know, sound advice no matter who's giving it. This should be an all-out war with Jackson looking to use his superior boxing and incorporate his trademark slams. Evans, for his part, may look to his superior wrestling pedigree and strategy from his trainer Greg Jackson out of Jackson's MMA in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Jackson has been repeatedly called MMA's answer to Yoda. The guy is just that smart. The other feature bout on the card features middleweights Michael the Count Bisping against New Jersey submission specialist Dan Miller. Bisping, the Ultimate Fighter Season 3 winner, last saw action at UFC 110, where he came out on the losing end of a decision to Vanderlei the Axe murderer Silva. But the outspoken Brit will be looking to press the action using his kickboxing skills, and Miller will definitely want to take the fight to the floor and take advantage of his jiu-jitsu game. Also on the card are Ontario Rogério Nogueira, continuing his march for the 205-pound division against American wrestler Jason Brills. This fight was originally supposed to be Nogueira taking on ultra-popular and charismatic former champ Forrest Griffin, but unfortunately, Griffin did injure his shoulder, pulled out of the fight, so now we've got the wrestler Jason Brills stepping in, and quite frankly, everyone's just looking for Nogueira to take him out rather quickly. Other notable names on the card will include lightweight contender Diego Sanchez taking on England's John Hathaway and former Ultimate Fighter Show winner Amir Sadala actually showing up for a fight without getting injured, which is great news for Amir. He's looking to build on the momentum of his win over Phil Baroni when he takes on Korean judo expert Dong Hyung Kim. Now, coming back after the break, we'll have all the news coming out of the UFC's visit to Montreal, including what's going on with Shogun, Kimbo Slice, and more, and also look at what George St. Pierre is up to these days. Stay tuned.
LiveBand.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. LiveBand.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
That was Sail by Armin van Buuren, which was Mauricio Shogun, who is entrance music of choice two Saturdays back when UFC made its now annual pilgrimage to Le Bel Centre on the Belle Province in Montreal. Hua avenged his controversial decision loss to Lyoto the Dragon Machida, stopping Machida with strikes at just 3:35 into the first round and became the UFC light heavyweight champion. Now, this win had to be extra sweet for Shogun, being that the last time these two did go to a decision, everyone around thought Shogun had come out with the victory, but unfortunately the only three people who did not agree happened to be the three judges sitting at ringside. Dana White did the right thing and ordered an immediate rematch, and Shogun went out and smashed the living you-know-what out of Machida. And he did so coming off appendicitis surgery of only 4 weeks, so you know, don't let anyone tell you that surgery can hold you back in the fight world. It's just not true. The card was actually packed with Canadian fighters. The only winners on that list, though, came from Winnipeg. Joe Dirksen came out submitting Filthy Tom Lawler with a rear naked choke in the second round. The rest of the Canadian contingent did not fare as well. Edmonton's Tim the Thrashing Machine Hag and Nova Scotia's TJ Grant, and also London, Ontario's Sam Hands of Stone Stout, all dropped decision losses, while Quebec's Jonathan the Road Warrior Goulet was KO'd by the Irish hand grenade Marcus Davis, and Patrick Cote was submitted by Alan Belcher. The Cote fight did have a little bit of controversy. Cote complained that he was spiked on his head, but replays showed that he actually landed on his face, which, according to mixed martial arts rules, is still legal. But Red Deer's poor Jason the Athlete McDonald had one of the most gruesome injuries you'll ever see when he suffered a severely broken ankle on a takedown attempt that went awry from his opponent John Salter. McDonald's leg buckled underneath him, and the resulting crunch put McDonald on the shelf for the next several months. Now, if you've ever seen the old Monday Night Football clip where Lawrence Taylor breaks Joe Theismann's leg, it's pretty much the same. And if not, YouTube it. It's glorious. Also suffering, but not quite as physically, was former YouTube sensation Kimbo Slice. The popular Kimbo was stopped by former New York Giant Matt Mitrione in the second round. And it was announced by UFC President Dana White at the event's post-fight press conference that Kimbo's contract was being cut from the promotion. White said that while he likes Kimbo as a person, he's just not a UFC caliber fighter. And looking at Kimbo's performances, it's really hard to dispute that. Yes, he's a great and charismatic guy. People love watching him fight for whatever reason. I don't know if it's just his backyard fight history or what, but it's clearly been shown that he has not taken the time to learn any of the ground game. And so he'll be next time probably on a smaller scale show. Now, while Kimbo was wished well on the way out, Paul Semtex Daly certainly was not. Daly was squaring off against Josh Koscheck in a welterweight number one contender bout, and after being frustrated by Koscheck's wrestling from three rounds and upset that Koscheck claimed Daly hit him with an illegal knee that appeared to completely miss Koscheck on the replay, attacked Koscheck after the fight, nailing him with a sucker punch and had to be restrained by referee Dan Mergliotta. It was one of the dumbest and most unsportsmanlike things I've ever seen. It's stuff like that that gives the sport a bad name. And Daly was dropped from the UFC immediately and told he would never fight in the organization again. Now, with his career most likely ruined, I can only assume we'll next hear from Daly when he turns up fighting Ken Shamrock for 50 pesos in Tijuana or something equally ridiculous. Fighting Ken Shamrock for any amount of money, even in pesos, seems ridiculous to me now, though. Koscheck, for his part, earned a shot at welterweight champion George Rush St. Pierre and certainly made no friends in the Montreal crowd when he declared that St. Pierre's days as champ were numbered. But St. Pierre doesn't seem to be concerned for the time being. He was last seen on TSN's Off the Record taking on former Montreal Canadiens enforcer George Larac in a friendly grappling match. Now, despite being outweighed severely, GSP weighs in on fight night at about 170 pounds and Larac tips the scales at about 220-230 most days. St. Pierre uses superior wrestling technique to wear down the bigger Larac en route to an easy victory. Larac was amazed that GSP was as strong as he was for his size, while GSP admitted that he would have lost to Larac if they fought on ice. The video is currently up on the TSN website. Well, that's about it for me. I'll be turning the ship back over to Daryl and the rest of the Sports Barbecue show. I'm going to close out now with something that is George St. Pierre's walkout music. It's Canadian Sans Pression with Territoire Hostile. And until next week, you have been in the cage with Bards.
Je l'ai vu, tu l'as vu, on l'a vu. Le business illégal, c'est ça qui contrôle la rue. La violence, le sexe, la drogue et tout ça pour l'argent. Dans le territoire hostile, tout s'achète et tout se vend. Hey yo, back in the days, y'a un black qui s'appelait Pat. Tu pensais qu'il était fat, tu bois et dealer de crack. Toujours les grosses marques, un collet de la haute classe. Et grâce à son sérieux, c'était chill, pas trop d'obstacles, pas trop de conflits. Chaque jour, des gros profits, jusqu'au jour où il commence à avoir son produit. Pauvre lui, c'est là où la fête s'arrête. Death Pets, tu gagnes la dette ou bien on fait ta dette. Yeah, t'entourer de problèmes, pogné au centre. Ils savaient plus quoi faire, ils parlaient de voler une banque. Mais c'était déjà trop tard, ils sont venus, ils sont partis. Ils ont pris tout ce qu'ils possédaient. En plus, ils ont pris sa vie, car dans ce business négro, des fois les choses vont mal. Faut être professionnel, sinon ça sera la bière tombale. Pense deux fois, cause que pour eux, y'a pas un jeu d'enfant. Et dans le territoire hostile, les gens pour l'argent, y'a où ils sont. Prêt à mourir, prêt à tuer, poste, sauf quand le gosse est allumé. La rue, pour te faire sourire. Territoire hostile, faut toujours être prêt à mourir, yo. Prêt à mourir, yo. Prêt à tuer, hostile. Sauf quand le boss est allumé. La vie de la rue, pour te faire sourire. Territoire hostile, faut toujours être prêt à mourir. Maintenant, Mélanie, JJ, une naine réalité. Une princesse à la recherche de son identité. Puis à Mariette, toujours à la caille. Mais de plus en plus elle fréquentait les rude boys. Au début c'était bien qu'elle se faisait traiter comme une sœur. Mais plus elle se faisait tailler, plus elle perdait de la valeur. Yo était fat quand même, y'avait rien de mieux. Alors ils ont décidé de la faire travailler pour eux. Innocente comme elle était, elle a dit oui même sans penser. Ils l'ont déshabillée, ensuite ils l'ont fait danser. Deux semaines plus tard, ils l'ont costumé. Talons aux petites jupes d'aspect. Prostituée dans ce business, des fois les choses vont mal. Si t'es rentable et tu peux te flex, on donne la pierre, ton bague. Sauf tu sais pas c'est quoi. Associe-toi pas avec ces gens, car dans le territoire hostile, la valeur c'est l'argent et ils sont prêts à mourir, prêts à tuer, hostile.
tired of spending your hard-earned money on CDs, compact discs, I mean, DVDs even, whatever, anything that might be better with
radio-ness.
I'm sick of listening to music without any funny quips in between. No commercials, I mean, come on. What about
Jay?
Mark.
Jason.
The Bear. All those guys. Now you'll never have to miss out on crazy
Mark Farabee
and
Jason
the Bear
Paulette
because
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver
has come up with their own label. That's right. You can listen to music and never have to listen to...
You can listen to music and never have to miss out on the radio-ness.
Listen to Friday Sunrise, Fridays from 7:30 to 9 a.m. on 101.9 CITR with your hosts, Mark Farabee
and Jason Paulette.
Do you want to have your music played? Have your horoscope read or just
give us some random advice?
Send us an email at fridaysunrise@vanmusic.ca or call us during the show at 604-UBC-CITR or 604-822-2487. Friday Sunrise, Fridays from 7:30 to 9 a.m.
Hey, this is Steve Nash. You're listening to CITR 101.9, the home of the UBC Thunderbirds.
The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
Okay, welcome everybody back to Weir's Barbecue on 101.9 FM. I wanted to play Mankind there, and I originally did you agree or disagree with the fact I just reloaded and did another song?
I disagree.
You disagreed. I should have stuck with my decision.
I think so.
It's the way it's done.
Well, it's one way it's done.
With me in studio, we got lots to get into on the show today. That stunned look. So it turns out, though, I never realized this. We had podcast ratings. You've known this for a while.
I have. Just a number of people who subscribe to your podcast. A list of all the different shows.
And I found out my ratings are plummeting lately. I've lost 40% of my listeners.
If you want to put it that way, yeah.
Wow. Is this a concern in the sports department? Has this been a big topic of conversation? I mean,
for the last 5 minutes, yes.
So what are we doing to improve the ratings of this show?
This is your show, actually.
Oh, this has,
it has your name on it.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It has the last name. First name's not mentioned.
You're going to mention it soon, though.
Daryl Wiener?
Yes.
Okay, I did it. With me in studio right now, so we're not going to go over the sagging ratings of this show.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. We've been there, done that. Did you watch any television on the weekend?
No, I was mostly at work.
You're mostly at
actually,
work.
Actually, you know what? At work I did.
What'd you watch?
I watched the news.
Yeah, good. Good show, news.
No, not really. I watched some soccer, and then I watched some hockey.
You didn't watch any television programs, though?
No.
You didn't watch the Lost series finale?
No.
You didn't watch 24 series finale?
Nope.
You didn't watch the season finale of Two and a Half Men?
I hate that show.
You hate that show?
I hate Charlie Sheen.
Really?
I do.
Even in Major League?
Yes.
No. We're not talking Major League 2.
Okay, fair enough.
We're talking Major League One.
And Hot Shots.
Was he in Hot... Okay. With Bo Bridges, I believe, was in Hot Shots.
I don't know. I forget. That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, Hot Shots. I like how I'm sort of banging my fingers on the table. You're clicking a pen.
It's what radio is all about, sound.
We don't have the effects here, so we make our own.
Yeah, as if there's like a team of us working together to put the show on.
Simpsons season finale?
I didn't watch it.
Cleveland Show season finale?
No.
Family Guy season finale?
Nope. Nothing.
None of that stuff?
Nope.
You watch any French Open?
I can't say that I did. No.
Have you yet?
Nope.
Okay.
I watched the Sharks and the Blackhawks.
Oh, good for you. That's nice stuff.
Third game. I watched game three.
That was Dustin Byfuglien in overtime.
Yes, it was.
Good for him, eh?
Sure.
Why not? Welcome, everybody, to Wieners Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. Every Tuesday from...
4:30 to 6.
Is it still?
5 to 6. 5:12 to 6:07.
No, I try to make sure I get off on time for Mike from Fletcher Head. And I wonder why my ratings are sagging. And I wonder why the ratings are sagging. Well, at 5:20, we're going to talk a little UBC baseball. Cab Whiteley's coming on.
He's an excellent talker. Very nice guy.
He is a very nice guy. Now, we're going to try to find out. I mean, Wilson, their season, you know, second, you know, this team's coming real close as a program.
Yeah.
But still unable to make it to the NAIA World Series.
I think
this
year, them not making it is a pretty big disappointment for the team there.
Yeah, number 7th ranked team in the country, too. So, anyways, but before we move on here.
Right.
You are going to lay on some golf scores for us.
I am.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Give us the story here.
Well, the women's golf team for UBC is in South Dakota for the NAIA Championships. Just started today. Evidently, it's a very windy course out in South Dakota, par 72. And the UBC women's team is in first place. They finished their round at 13 over. And they are 7 shots ahead of UVic in the team competition.
All right.
At UVic is at plus 20 after they have played 9 holes. And they are tied in second with Oklahoma City University and South Carolina Beaufort at plus 20. And if you're wondering, the team in last place, in 25th place, the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology at plus 174. Which is...
What's that on average? Like, how many people are on this team here? How many people are shooting the plus? And how many rounds?
I believe it's... they've only played 1 round.
They've only played... Wow! So basically this... Not to be rude here.
No.
But it sounds like if you wanted to make this team, kind of had to put your name on a piece of paper. I'm sure you had to play some sort of an entrance fee. I mean...
Well, you do need to get into the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah. So they are 161 shots behind UBC after 1 round.
How many players are playing for a team here?
I believe it's 4. Or 3.
No way! It can't be 3. So people were shooting like 110.
Some of them may have been.
Wow! It would be really good if they had 1 golfer who was like par.
And then the other 2 were combined... plus 174.
Yeah, so that's... You're looking at about 150, if that was the case. Plus 100? Are you sure it's plus 100 and how much? 74?
That's what it says on the website.
So, hold on. Let's divide that by 3. So, that's about... What is it? About 57?
Plus 50, yeah.
So, add that to 72. You're looking at, on average, 129. Was it deep rough?
Maybe it was really windy.
That's a big number.
Because, I mean, I talked with Chris McDonald was on the show, the UBC golf coach. He talked about how this is a very windy course, and they said on average it was, the winds last time they played were like 40 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
So,
you'd be better off chipping off the tee. I'm serious. Just hit off your back foot. Keep it low. You should be able to beat 129, Wilson.
174. We'll have an update halfway through your show.
I would round. So they haven't even finished the round.
No, they haven't.
Oh, so they could turn it on late.
Yes.
Maybe they were playing through like a really tough stretch.
Right. So maybe not with the win in their favor, possibly. they could get, I don't know, like 9 holes in one?
Yeah. Well, the 8, isn't it on that course, like the 8th through 10th are just treacherous?
That's from what I've heard.
That's probably where the blow-up occurred.
Rapid City, South Dakota.
Wow, I think we got a new team to follow here.
The South Dakota School of Mines and Technology.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, UBC looking good in that tournament.
Yeah, they play until Friday, so they are 7 shots ahead of UVic. And hoping, of course, to win another national championship.
Also going on at this school right now, we have the women's and men's track and field teams. We'll be traveling to Indiana Wesleyan University in Marion, Indiana, for the NAIA Outdoor Track and Field Championships.
Yep, that's starting on Thursday.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. A number of T-Birds are expected to bring home podium finishes.
Like Liz Gleadle.
Tell us more.
Well, if you know, your many dedicated fans remember when Claire Hanna was in a few weeks ago.
That's right, eh?
Claire told us about that video where she got Liz Gleadle to show her how to throw a javelin.
I remember now.
Yeah. So Liz is one of the best javelin throwers in all of the North American sports leagues. She regularly beats the very best in the NCAA and is a favorite, of course, to win. I believe her next... She regularly wins competitions by about 10 meters.
Wow.
In javelin. So she throws about 56, 57, 58 meters. She's head and shoulders above the rest of the competition. UBC also expected to do well in a whole bunch of different races, like the 5,000-meter race walk, which is your favorite.
Never played in that, actually. Never. Have you ever raced walked?
No.
Is that the one you have to keep your heels on the ground?
Yes.
Speed walking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They change it to race walking?
Well... I don't think they've ever called it speed walking.
Really?
I don't know. You're the track person, though.
Yeah. No, never did that, though. Sure. But UBC's favored in the speed walking here, race walking here. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So that will be going on all weekend long.
Yes.
You got anything else here?
No.
Good. the hockey team has added a couple of recruits here.
That's the reason I said no.
They got a commitment from Camrose Kodiaks forward Matt Ray from Qualicum Beach, British Columbia, former Kamloops Blazer and Salmon Arm Silverback. Yeah?
You know what a silverback is?
No, I don't know what a silverback is. It's kind of fish, is my guess.
It's actually a gorilla.
No way!
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. That's cool. They all...
You're learning new things on your show.
Every day, every day. Hey, that's what we're doing, actually, to improve our sagging ratings.
We're making things educational.
We're making things educational. And they also added James Isaac from the Fort McMurray Oil Barons. He had in the AJHL 12 points in 54 games last year.
Guessing he was a defenseman?
No, they're both forwards. Oh. They're both forwards. Gotta bolster that checking attack. I don't know.
Is that what they were weak on this year?
Well, they you know what? This was a rough season for the hockey team. They got off to, I believe in soccer. This is what I love watching soccer, and they got that World Cup starting soon, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's, when a team gets a goal early, I love when they say, a dream start!
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So UBC this year, their hockey team, actually got off to a dream start. 3-0-1, I believe it was.
That's right.
Right out of the gate. And then they, to, you know, be perfectly honest, they pretty much stunk the rest of the way. I hate to say it like that, but it's what happened. I think they were 3-0-1 and then lost 9 in a row.
Yeah, yeah. It was not good.
It was not good. So, yeah, I mean, they got to change the philosophy. But, you know, what I'm hearing with this hockey team is... What is your opinion of this? Is you've got the NCAA talk, which I had a lot of fun covering. And I believe that was the time when my listenership went from 3 to 5.
Now, to be honest, it's not your listenership. It's how many people subscribe to your podcast.
But we did have a boom in between January and February where I added, like, God, I almost doubled my listenership. I mean, right. It was a strong time for this show. And we were following the NCAA. And anyways, your theory is what we're being told is Milan, Dragosavić, that coach, has such a real tough time recruiting for this team. Because if you're a top, you know, junior player, you could commit to UBC, but for all you know, after 2 years, this school is going to be NCAA, and you're going to have to you're not going to be able to play here anymore. So this is a UBC program that, to be honest, isn't doing that great to begin with.
Right, right.
You know, you're in deep as it is trying to recruit. Well, now
there's this question hanging over.
Yeah, where if you're a junior player and you've got, say, UBC and Calgary calling, you know, why would you come to UBC? Yeah, what do you think? Is that a fair give the team a little bit benefit of the doubt right now?
Well, the problem is they haven't really. Yeah, I mean, since Milan's come here, they've certainly moved up, you know, a step or two. But they're not any closer, I don't think, to really being a threat in the Canada West, and
no.
That doesn't help with the NCAA stuff. And you wonder at what point, like, they've got to have a decision made. You can't just be in limbo for 4 years, 5 years.
Well, they're in that right now. They are right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's now at the point now where this has kind of gotten a little ridiculous. So, and as we'll see, another interesting thing I never talked to you about, Wilson, just happened recently, is Scott Clark. No, yeah.
It's very interesting news.
When did this happen? I mean, what have you heard here? Scott Clark, who I thought was going to be taking SFU to NCAA Division II. I'm reading the Vancouver Province one day. This is in men's basketball.
Right.
I'm reading the Vancouver Province. Wait, he's the new coach of Thompson Rivers?
Yeah.
What happened here?
Well, you know, I certainly don't know Scott Clark. I didn't call him after he, you know, he was introduced in Kamloops, but you have to look at SFU. They're going into a Division II league that, you know, is arguably stronger, the same as CIS, the yeah. top-level CIS. And he loses a whole bunch of his players. You know, guys like Sean Burke and Kevin Shaw. And all those guys are not coming back. Those are some really key guys from that team that finished the year ranked in the top 10. So
Matt Kuzminski, another, yeah.
Yeah, so that a very big loss for him as he tries to get into the NCAA Division II. And, you know, to be honest, Scott Clark isn't a guy who goes out and recruits the conventional way. You know, he doesn't always get the star guys. I think he's much more concentrated on coaching the team well and succeeding that way. But like, he's not a guy that goes out and attracts the biggest recruits. And maybe that'll be a problem for him in the NCAA Division II. But also, I mean, he is a guy from the Okanagan. He is a guy that is from the area. He's from Kelowna. Maybe that's just one of the things where he saw a great opportunity to continue coaching in Canada and living in a place that's close to home.
Yeah, it's really weird. As you read about Scott Clark, and it says he resigned.
Yeah.
Basically to take the Thompson Rivers job. That's a little weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
especially with SFU going NCAA. And I hear what you're saying, but the fact of the matter is their last year was, you know, their best in a long, long. I mean, this was a program that was in the doldrums.
Yeah.
And
he did a great job taking them out.
I mean, they were pretty close to making it to nationals this year, you know?
And again, to take a job where Thompson Rivers has won, what, like 10 games over the last 3-4 years?
Yeah.
He's going into a job that's much worse than the worst times he had at SFU.
Good for the CIS, though, I think.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you've got now, because Thompson Rivers is a disaster.
Yeah.
No, they are.
They've had an interim coach for the last 2 years.
They shouldn't be in the league. They make the league worse.
Yes.
Having them in it. And at least Scott Clark will hopefully give them some stability, give them a little name recognition and so forth, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because Thompson Rivers has actually done well in the other sport. They've done well in volleyball.
Yeah.
You know, so they've even won a bronze medal a couple of years ago. So they've done really well. But in basketball, both men's and women's, the women are looking better. The men, there was really no sign whatsoever that they were going to get better. At least with the women, they were improving.
Didn't the men have the coach walk out one day?
Yeah.
What happened
there? Nevin Gleddy. He was reassigned within the athletics department.
But he walked out in the middle of a game, didn't he?
Not in the middle, near the end. he was a guy who got like a billion technical fouls. I mean, he was just one of those guys who screamed.
Oh, really? Hey.
Yeah.
See, when I'd see them, it was just, they were getting blown out.
Yeah.
You know?
But they were getting blown out by everyone.
Right, yeah.
So.
Oh, those Thompson Rivers games. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I'm never into it when Thompson Rivers comes.
No one is. And no. I should say, though, the fact that this year UBC's schedule for basketball looks really, really bleak. If you just look at it.
Where do you find that?
Well, no, I mean, I think it's just preliminary. But you know that last year UBC hosted Trinity.
Right? Yeah.
They hosted Victoria.
Yeah.
So those two teams
and SFU's now off the books.
Yeah. So those
where two, they traveled to. Sorry. Yeah.
So,
wow.
Victoria right. and Trinity aren't coming this year,
and neither is SFU.
Possibly, maybe for an exhibition game.
No, I've been told.
Right.
They're not going to be playing SFU this year, which right. I think is a huge mistake.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with Kevin Hansen doing that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. And then you have probably Thompson Rivers coming twice and probably
Fraser Valley. Oy vey.
And I believe Calgary Lethbridge is coming.
Okay.
And I don't know if Winnipeg.
Saskatchewan isn't.
Which is another big blow, right?
Yeah, Saskatchewan is not.
And I wonder if Winnipeg, Manitoba is coming.
That's why they should have got out of this league already, is this year's okay. But next year is a disaster. Anyways, we got to take a break. Thank you for pointing to the clock there. Cav Whiteley from the UBC Thunderbird men's baseball team is coming up momentarily. You're listening to 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada.
Then there's the utter misery that is college. Then there's the utter misery that is college radio, where they apparently just let any bewildered freshman wander into the booth and try to run a radio station. Campus Outreach is looking for... Hang on. College radio can pretty much be summed up in five words.
CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
CITR is super popular. We've partnered with great local businesses to bring all our friends discounts in their communities. Say you like to kick it in Kits. Show your friends of CITR card at Banyan Books, Baru Cafe, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh is Best Salsa, Grindhouse Video, Gumdrops, Prussian Music, Royce Clothing and Shoes, Rufus's Guitar Shop, Spank Shoes, and Spank Clothing, and save. So become a CITR member, get a free friends card, and feel the love.
Be happy.
CITR has more friends than ever before. We've partnered with tons of local businesses to bring you great discounts in the communities where you live, work, and play. Maybe Main Street is your main drag. Present your friends of CITR card at Red Cat Records, Lucky's Comics, Devil May Wear, Thriller, Blim, The Kiss Store, The Wallflower Modern Diner, RX Comics, Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Vinyl Records, Regional Assembly of Text, and Twig and Hottie. To
to receive fabulous discounts. So become a CITR member, get a free friends card, and feel the love.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM. You know, I just traded headsets, and now I found one where not both ears work.
So I think you're loud enough for one ear.
I guess so. Hold on here. Let's just... I'm going to have to deal with this. All right, let's just keep her going here. With us on the line from the... Are you still from the UBC Thunderbird men's baseball team? Cav Whiteley. Cav, how you doing today?
Daryl, I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
There you go. So, Cav, obviously your team finishing up just shy of making it to the NAI World Series. But before we get into that, we have just discovered you, in fact, are stepping down from your position as assistant baseball coach at UBC.
I am there. I've been at the school now for a shade under a decade, if you include my my playing career now. So, yeah, it's been quite a while. It's been a really good run, but I think it's time for me to move in some different areas. I taught freshman athletes at Douglas College this year and really enjoyed that. So I think that's what I'm going to chase down the dream of being a professor.
So you think you're going to end up teaching here, Calf?
Teaching, teaching and coaching are really synonymous with each other, and that's something that I've learned over the last few years, and I've really enjoyed both. I don't want to step away from baseball completely, of course, but stepping down a little bit and taking a little less time on the recruiting front, and that might help me in those areas.
Cav, looking back, UBC Thunderbird men's baseball, like you said, just shy of a decade. Of course, the highlight of that is your close buddy, Jeff Francis, who I'm happy to say is off the disabled list. He's had two very good starts so far with Colorado this year. Looking back on it, how impressed and how far has this program come?
Well, you know what? It's night and day. It really is. To look back where I started, where we had no, we were buying our own gloves and spikes, to now a program who gets everything provided for free on and off the field. It's even on those fronts, it just shows how much the program's grown. I mean, for kids to be, from California to be wanting to come up and play for our program, that always shows that the word and the name is traveling quite well. People always hear about it. It used to be, oh, yeah, there's that Canadian team. And now it's like, well, UBC, we know them. They were at the World Series in 06, and Jeff Francis pitched for them. And I think our reputation in the baseball community, locally and internationally, has grown substantially in that time, that's for sure.
And you guys don't have to shovel snow anymore in February.
Yeah, no snow shoveling and a little bit nicer uniforms. We can afford jackets this year for the rain, so that's always nice.
Cav, so when do you step down?
Well, my contract ends at the end of June here, so I'm still working with some players and making sure they have summer classes and summer baseball lined up. I'm also traveling with Team Canada this summer to the to Tokyo, Japan, to do the World University Games team.
Cool.
Which will be awesome, so we'll have a number of our UBC guys on that squad as well.
That's good stuff. So you got just over a month left here, Cav. Besides Jeff, obviously the best player you guys have played with, give us some of the other names that, amazing players here at UBC who you've seen.
Well, gee, it's hard not to mention Brooks Niven, seeing I'm engaged to his sister. But Brooks obviously has done a ton for the program and still continues to do a ton of stuff from the alumni standpoint. And,
sorry, Cav, I got to cut you off. You're engaged to his sister, you can't talk about him. We're going to cut you off there. Give me somebody else.
All right, okay. Well, you know what? I think that guys that I played with, such as Ben Herman, guys in 06, Jeff Tobin, Doug Grant, they've done a ton for the program since leaving as well. They were huge when they were in the program. They were obviously, starters and very, middle-of-the-order hitters in the time of the program. But I got to, give Ben Herman and Doug Grant and nice. Jeff Tobin a lot of props for doing what they have from the alumni standpoint. They keep all the generations close, and we have that big alumni day every year where we bring out 80 or 90 guys to talk about how good we used to be, and those guys are our front runners in organizing that.
Good stuff.
Great.
Good stuff. Cav, on to your team this year. You obviously had the excellent season, finished before the playoffs, obviously number 7 in the country, just shy of making it back to the NAIA World Series. Disappointing year or excellent year with just a not very good finish?
Well, I think a little bit of both. I mean, our goal from the beginning was to get to the World Series this year. We were close last year. I thought we needed a couple more arms, and we went out and we got those arms. And, you know, we got back down into a really, really tough draw in California and ran up against a couple of really good arms. The two losses, we actually had 29 strikeouts in the two games that we lost, which you don't win too many of those games, that's for sure. But you know what? It was something that I thought we got a really, really tough draw, and that was probably what held us back a little bit. And obviously, we'd rather be in Lewiston right now, but we have a ton of young players that are coming through that are going to be just great players the rest of the year. We started four freshmen at the end of the season, so that's always bodes well for the future, that's for sure.
But you are losing some real top quality players, especially in the pitching staff.
Yeah, well, that's Mark Hardy. You know, it'll hurt. It's hard to replace a Mark Hardy. You know, Sheldon McDonald, other dominant lefty, is probably going to be a draft guy. It seems things are going that direction. Other than that, we returned pretty much everybody else. Taylor King out of our bullpen is going to hurt losing him, but you know, we've got a pretty strong staff come back. I'm more worried about the two middle infielders. They've been the backbone of our team for the last 3 years here. Sammy Starr and Alex White, they've been nothing but the team leaders and certainly helped the defense to the top defense in the NAI again this year for the second year in a row. So
yeah,
it's going to be tough replacing those guys.
You mentioned Starr and White, your middle infield, second base, and shortstop. What does that means so much to a team? Hey, you don't realize when you're just watching on TV, but middle infield, catcher, that's so key, isn't it?
Yeah, we always put the, you know, our top recruiting in the middle of the field, catching the two middle infielder spots in the center field. Those have to be your backbone of the team, your most important players, the guys that are going to lead a little bit by both example and by a little bit of leadership. So we had that on both sides of the coin. Alex leading by he was the vocal leader of the team, and Sammy Starr just being able to make every play up the middle for us. It's been huge for us. I mean, we're hoping that somebody's going to give Sammy a chance to play at the professional level. I think he really deserves it. The kids worked for that really hard for 4 years to try to get to the professional ranks.
Kev, if you could, you know, one kind of complaint you can find with your team, one thing, you know, obviously you used to play Nat Bailey, now you're playing on the stadium here on campus, is you guys, you're always a little behind in getting that big power hitter, hey?
Yeah, it's true. This year we definitely never had the power, the middle-of-the-order hitter that we were truly looking for all year. We had a pretty balanced attack, but it's true. We didn't have that true damage guy in the middle that could really, you know, clear the bases for us, get the big hit when we needed it. Scott Webster would have really helped. Scott was becoming that player last year and academically couldn't get it done in the classroom this year, so unfortunately we didn't have Scott. We also lost Jordan Pedrino to some grades early on as well, and those two would have hit right in the middle of the order. So that was always tough. I think that's when it came down to it in the playoffs. We weren't able to score runs to beat those top pitchers. So having some guys in the middle of the order that can really do some damage would have helped us a lot. That's true.
So the power, hey, is grade something to complain about here at UBC? As a guy who did the recruiting, I mean, is that an excuse are you using? Or
well,
you got in.
Enough,
you
yeah. I made it through, so it can't be that tough. But no, we usually have a list of about 50 kids in Canada that we're looking at from a baseball standpoint, and usually I'll cross out 45 of those guys just on grades alone.
Oh,
so it is a very challenging, you know, it's a challenge for us recruiting wise, but I think it also helps us because we get the best kids in Canada, you know, some real character kids, some kids with the top marks, they can also play. So it's both our blessing and our curse, I think.
Right on. So, Cav Whiteley with us right now. Cav, I just tried for Josh Beckett in my baseball pool.
Oh, my Red Sox. We're up for a turnaround here. We're starting to see the light, I think. Yeah, we've been taking a lot of abuse early on, and let's fire Terry Francona. But Beckett's been out for a bit for the back spasms.
Yeah.
I think he's
going to
come back strong here in the for the next two-thirds of the season. I think he made a good move.
Okay, and I just traded for Jeff, too.
Oh, good. Good.
What's the word on him? You talked to him since he's been back?
I talked to him all the way through. We go back and forth quite a bit. He's really interested in how we're doing. I'm always really interested in how he's doing. So I'll poke at him a little bit, ask him when he's going to get back on a mound again, whether he might as well just switch arms, see if he could try to do it that way. No, it's great to see Jeff back throwing again. You know, we're going to try to get down to Denver to see him again as we do every year. Now that he's back throwing and having some success early on, which is exactly what we want. I mean, it's a contract year for him, so he's pretty excited to be back throwing and wants to do some good things with what he has left of the season.
And maybe you get a little more upgrades to the stadium, hey, if Jeff gets the big contract.
That would be nice. You know, we stay at the Days Inn when we go there. We like to maybe get to the Marriott if we could, but you know, that's really in Jeff's hands.
But he did, though. Was it last year or the year, or maybe it was the year before you guys went and he got absolutely shelled? Didn't that happen?
Yeah, absolutely shelled. He got hit really hard. He almost hit a home run that day. That was about the only positive that came out of it. That was when he was kind of injury-plagued and stuff. But he almost hit that home run, so we celebrated that. You know, we celebrated the 3 inches, the top of the wall that he hit in his would have been his only big league home run, but he ended up getting a double out of it, but probably the hardest ball he's ever hit in the big league. We celebrated that weekend.
There you go. So, Kev, you never gave me the word, though. You say you talked to the guy. Is he healthy? How? I mean, should I trade him now that his stock is a little high?
Well, you know what? I think you got a kid who's been dying to get back and wants to pitch it. He says, by all accounts from the inside source, he's good to go.
Okay,
he's good to go.
Did he give you for your pool the scoop on Osvaldo Giménez?
He said that if he could have a conversation with Ubaldo, it would be a lot better. They could talk about pitching a little bit, but Ubaldo's English is a little bit suspect from time to time.
So, oh, really? Hey,
yeah, he's straight from the Cuban academies. Dominican academies.
Awesome.
So he said he's quite a talent. said he's quite a talent. The kid gets by. He says, it doesn't do a lot of prep for his start, but his stuff is just that nasty.
Awesome. Cav Whiteley with us right now from the UBC Thunderbird men's baseball team. Been with him as a player, of course, an assistant coach, recruiter, will soon be stepping down at the end of June. Cav, NCAA, that's one of the big topics here on campus. Big time affects the UBC baseball program. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? We get the question from recruits and everything a lot. When are we making that move? What's the timeline look like? I'm still thinking we've got at least probably two more years of NAIA competition. You know, this year coming up next year, and then maybe the year after that might be the transition. That's kind of what we think as a baseball team. We're preparing that way in terms of our recruiting class. Mm-hmm. So we can get in and compete right away. We think we will be able to compete right the minute we step into that thing, but we're waiting on the notice from the athletic department to start doing that. They've told us to get our roster size to match NCAA format, which is always a positive thing.
When did they tell you that?
They told us that end of the fall when we decided we would recruit in 47 players, and they said, whoa, how about more? How about 35?
You think, are you for or against it?
You know what? We're completely for it. I mean, we played through the NAIA. We think it's a great league. We get to play some great competition, but that the Pac West conference for us, man, that would make a big difference in the two Hawaii trips, Arizona, California, Utah, you know, and not having to bus everywhere and not to play through the cold weather. Daryl, that's where we want to be, that's for sure.
Do you lose recruits to the NCAA?
We do. We lose the top kids every year. You know, a great example is James Paxton. He's been in the news quite a bit lately. You know, we were very, very close to signing James Paxton out of North Delta, and then he went down to his trip to Kentucky, and they wowed him with the basketball team and everything down there, and he ends up going down there and being a first-round pick overall. I think we do lose some of these top guys because we just can't recruit the way they can recruit. We can offer, you know, the education, all things go with it, but you know, sometimes that the glory and the glamour and the glitz of those big-time Division I schools still pull a lot of our Canadian kids away.
But is NCAA Division II enough?
You know what? I think it's going to be a big difference once they see the teams that we're playing against and the travel schedule and that. And I think that in the long term, the NCAA Div 1 is the goal. But I think Division 2 will help. Just having that NCAA brand, I think it's a lot more recognizable than the NAI,
yeah.
You know, nationwide. So I think it will help us, definitely.
There you go. Cav Whiteley with us. So Cav, still working full time. You got a month to go, hey?
A month to go. I'm going to try to recruit in all the best kids so I can at least put my name on the program for the next 4 years.
There you go.
Be like, oh yeah, that was that Cav Whiteley guy that got me in here. Now if I got all these championship rings on my finger, we might maybe throw him one or two.
Cav shows up at the state. You're sitting in the outfield a little drunk. I recruited that guy.
Yeah, I can start talking about glory days already, I suppose.
There you go. Cav, a pleasure as always. And before you wrap up, I'd like to have you on the show again.
Okay, that'd be great, Daryl. Just let me know when. I'll be there.
My
schedule seems to have opened up past June.
Thanks for doing this, Cav.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Cav Whiteley. There you go. I want to have him on again.
You should.
I want to have him on again. Always fun. Always fun. There was one show I did with him. Jeff Francis, right after Colorado clinched the NLCS.
Right.
I didn't know it at the time. I just called Jeff to see if he would come on, and I didn't know it at the time. I was the only interview he granted that day, which is very strange. Apparently everybody else was going through the Rockies.
Right.
I just called this home line. I guess he picked up. He's like, oh, I guess it'll do it. And I had Cav here as my surprise
great.
Co-interviewer. And it was actually, the cool part was I got Cav, because Cav's a Red Sox fan.
Right, right, right.
And that's who they were playing, and I got them to kind of go at that a bit. So Cav, when Jeff's pitching, who are you going to root for? And Jeff's like, yeah, Cav, who are you going to root for? And it was good stuff. I'm a big fan of Cav Whiteley.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's... you know, I'm starting to think it wasn't the headset. It's this little thing here.
Anyway, possibly, yeah.
That's one where, you know, the school's really screwed up. This department. And I don't blame the athletic department. I blame the school. Here's a guy like Cav Whiteley who you wonder if the NCAA thing was settled, he could maybe stay at this school right now. But because it's not, because they're dicking around and they're sitting there going, dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum, dum-de-dum-de-dum-de-dum. You know what I mean. Is that a fair comment here? If you're going to go, they should know by now. And guy like Cav could figure it out.
I mean, he said it himself. Even guys who are coming to the school are wondering.
Of course they are.
Right?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to give them an answer.
Well, yeah, nobody knows, and it's not the headphones. It's this thing here.
Right. I don't think you'll be able to fix it.
All right. Well, deal. Okay. But it is true. Doesn't this... Am I alone here? This decision has to be made, doesn't it? Tomorrow they should make it.
They should have made it yesterday.
Yeah, anyways, Cav Whiteley, he will be missed at the UBC baseball program. You did play-by-play for this team this year.
I did. Some of it, yeah.
Yeah, how was that?
That was fun. I mean, you know, it would have been really nice if these guys had made it to the World Series. They played so well this year. You know, lots of great, you know, he talked about the two guys, Sammy Starr, Alex White, great defensive play. And it's kind of a shame because they had a really good team this year, excellent pitching, lots of depth. And mm-hmm. you figure with a team like that, with a pitching staff like that, you would have thought that they would have been a tailor made for a tournament like the qualifiers that they lost out in. But they just guess it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, he mentioned they were lacking that big, and I you could just see it looking at the stats, lacking that big hitter in the middle of the order.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, they tried a whole bunch of guys this year. They had, at points, Mike Elias, who was out with mono for the West Regional. They had guys like Blake Carruthers, batting cleanup. You know, all good players, but there wasn't that sort of power threat.
He mentioned a couple guys, just they were the guys couldn't keep the grades up. Mentioned a couple guys, and that was the other interesting thing with Cav is talking is he said we look at 50 guys at the beginning of the year, and because of the grades, I immediately have to cross off
45
of them. It's quite the number, eh?
Yeah.
But there's a guy Cav though, and you know it's good to get a guy because problem is talking to these coaches today, they just talk to you in circles about the NCAA. They're not going to say they're for or against it. Some will say they're against it. But nobody says that. Actually, Mel Milan said he was for it, basically. Dragosavic of the hockey team. But Cav said for the baseball, he said it. They're losing recruits.
Yeah.
And even if they went NCAA Division II, he believes they'd be able to hang on to these guys.
Right. I mean, with a great thing, you know, no offense, but I mean, if you're going to play D1 baseball, and maybe it's not necessarily high D1, if you're going to some school in rural Louisiana, you probably need to be able to sign your name and get into that school. And play D1 baseball.
Yeah.
Right? So, unfortunately, I mean, there are a couple of things at play here where I'm sure a lot of guys, you know, we've seen in basketball, we've seen it in other sports, the D1 dream is a very powerful thing. And a lot of people go down, a lot don't make it, but, I mean,
you can't blame them for going.
No. And the thing is, like, it's very hard to recruit against that.
Yeah. But does Div 2 draw them in? That's the interesting one, right?
And it's interesting to see what happens with SFU, right?
They need a coach for basketball.
Well, the women's team will be interesting to see what happens.
That is a nice one, yeah. That is a nice one.
Because they had a whole bunch of players who can't play for this team. And we'll see who are the ones that end up joining them.
Yeah, I know. It'll be fun. Just last thing I do have to say, disappointing Kevin Hansen and whoever coaches at SFU for not getting that done. You know, they say it's scheduling and da 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 da. I think it's a little harder to put a football game together right. than it is an exhibition basketball game. I'm sorry.
I agree. I mean, I'm 100%.
What do you figure? 10 times harder? 50 times harder to put that football game together?
It's
infinite. You know?
One game where your players could literally just ride a bus across town.
Yeah.
Right? Any point of the year. Christmas, beginning of the year, preseason, end of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand SFU was busing to a lot of places, you know, and flying to a bunch of places, but this means one game on your schedule, one game where you don't have to do anything but take a bus for like 40 minutes and you're there.
And make sure the gym is open.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you get the gym time.
And you know, you have, and why not make it a great big, you know, play it on a Wednesday where high school kids can come out.
Yeah.
High school coaches can bring their teams.
You've got the premier CIS team in BC, no question about it.
Versus the Canadian team playing in the American NCAA.
Yeah, there is a draw there. And I'm going to be very excited to watch that football game this year.
Right.
It's going to be a fun rumble this year.
I hope so. I mean, you've been to some fun ones.
Yeah, but this one's got real intrigue, especially with the coaches' stories and the basketball. I mean, the fact that the football was able to get it done, which that took effort, I'm sure. And it only got done, I believe, because of Sean Olsen and Dave Johnson.
Yeah. And you think about it. I mean, the Canada West doesn't like SFU.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm sure they don't care whether UBC plays SFU or not. They probably don't want UBC to play SFU. It's not like the Canada West went out of their way to make it easy for UBC to schedule this game. It's not like, oh, we'll leave you an open day. You know, they don't care. So it actually did take a lot of work, I'm sure, to put that game together.
And the first thing when I interviewed Sean Olsen when he got the job, he said, we're going to get that game done.
Right.
It wasn't like we're going to work on it, we're going to look at it, we'll see. He said, we're going to get that game done.
And you've heard me on this show before. That game is the only game all year in any sport on those two campuses where you know every television, newspaper, and radio station will mention that game.
Shrumble.
UBC-SFU football. You know that every single station that covers any sort of sports will mention that game. Only time on either campus all year.
Well, you wonder if the basketball had done it. Maybe that gives them a little in. Because that is, they're the two local schools, like we said, you know.
But, you know, basketball, it's got its own things going.
I disagree with that move 100%. 100%. But I don't understand it, that they couldn't get. Because, once again, football, you play 8 regular season games, and they're getting this one done. Like, they had to get work. I mean, where basketball, they play 30-plus games. Come on. If not more.
Yeah.
You know, come on. Get it done. All right. We got to take our break. And then we're going to be back to finish.
Got a golf update.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
All right. How are they doing? Are they improving? Are they getting worse?
You got it. We got to come back after the break.
Oh, I'm excited. We got a teaser. Tell us. Before we come back, tell us where we left off.
Well, on the air, I said that the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology at the Women's NAIA Championships.
My new favorite team.
Your new favorite team was at minus 174.
Plus.
Yes, plus 174. 3 golfers.
Yeah.
Not quite correct. How's that? Come back and find out.
Because you're looking at it, they were shooting like 130. I don't care how windy it is. All you have to do is just hit the ball off your back foot and keep it low. I mean, you can still get a 6 on a hole.
I wasn't quite correct.
I mean, a 60, like, you're looking at... I love it.
Rock and roll!
Were you going to have a party here tonight, son?
I mean, whatever happens, your toes are still tapping.
The Biltmore Cabaret at 395 Kingsway is Vancouver's hottest live showroom devoted to independent music of all genres.
Do you like Biltmore? Do you like Biltmore?
Check out BiltmoreCabaret.com for upcoming show info and DJ nights.
And if you're a rock star, you're famous, and you rock out.
Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know.
It's fun, though, isn't it?
Quick ID there. I didn't... The Biltmore thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 35 seconds.
Yeah. All right.
So I guess we'll call this the retraction part of the show.
Okay, yeah. It happens a lot.
Basically, I said that this... We're talking about women's golf here. Mm-hmm. UBC at the NAIA Championships. By the way, they're winning the darn thing right now after the first round by 7 shots.
This is the championship.
Yeah. So, 3 more rounds to go. They are winning. 13 over par for 3 golfers.
Sorry.
is that going to be an intro at some point?
I'm getting the show closer here.
So, they're winning by 7 shots. Of course, before... We did that baseball interview before we went into some of the other sports. I also mentioned that in last place was South Dakota School of Mines and Technology.
My new favorite team.
Your new favorite team. And I did say that they were at plus 174.
3 golfers.
3 golfers with 9 holes to go.
Which meant... I didn't realize it was 9 holes to go. So hold on. They shot plus 174. 3 golfers. So you're looking at a plus 57.
Right.
You're looking at 36 is par. So you're looking at 93 on the front 9 on average.
Which is
93. I don't even know if that's possible.
Which is why this part is called the retraction part.
We have a retraction.
Because before
you do this, I would like to say I would actually like to marry one of these girls. I mean, what troopers. I mean, these girls are up for having fun because they obviously suck at golf. They're still on the... How they made the championship, I don't know. Are they playing with broken limbs today? 93 on the front 9 on average for 3 of them.
So that's why...
I want to marry these
girls. I'm going to take that back now, of course.
What school is this again?
South Dakota School of Mines and Technology.
Oh, my God.
So I got to say, they did not shoot 174 over par. The correct score after their first round is plus 104. 70 shots fewer.
That's after 9 holes? Or that's after
the hole? That's after the entire round. Okay, so their golfers are at plus 22, plus 32, and plus 39.
They still suck.
Be nice.
Well, no, that's awesome. So, one shot of 94. I assume they're playing from the tough tees.
They're playing from the championship tees.
Yeah, championship tees.
So it's a par 72.
Yeah.
So one did shoot.
What did UBC shoot? What did their player shoot?
Okay, so UBC's Alyssa Human is at 1 over. She's in second place in the individual competition.
Okay.
And then their 2 other golfers, Vanessa Leone and Lindsay Mannion, are both at 3 over, and they're both tied for 7th.
Let's get back to my South Dakota team.
Right.
So that's amazing. So good for UBC.
Yes.
That's great. But we got to get back to South Dakota here. All right, so we've got...
The School of Mines and Technology.
Yeah, okay, so we've got the one girl shot at 94.
Right.
That's their top golfer.
Top golfer.
Then we had the other one shot what?
Plus 32.
Plus 32, so that's crap.
104.
That's crap. Yeah, I shot 103 the other day, completely hungover. At Northlands. Although, I'm sure, you know, I had some gimme putts. I gave myself a few kicking plays every now and then.
So you probably shot 170.
Not 170. Okay, what did the other one shoot?
Plus 39.
So that's 111? Let's see here. 72 plus 39. It's 111. Let's get these girls on the show. This is amazing. How did they make the championship?
Well, I did not check over the entire list of schools.
Right.
But this is taking place in South Dakota.
Ah, the hosts.
So they could be the host team. This is taking place in South Dakota.
This is amazing.
This will be one of the highlights if you ever look back to the show. This will be one of the highlights.
I'd like to know the tryout. Was there a tryout? You know, I tried out for my high school team.
High school golf?
High school golf team, yeah.
At
Point Grey. I made it as an alternate.
I don't know. What kind of scores were the
I probably team? Shot about 120, 130.
What about the team members? What were they shooting?
This was like the mid-90s.
Right.
Golf, the Tiger boom hadn't happened yet.
And
this was the time of Paul Azinger and Fred Couples. And Ian Woosnam.
Payne Stewart.
Payne Stewart.
Nick Price.
Ernie Els.
Nick Faldo.
Greg Norman.
Well done.
The good old days.
Mark Calcavecchia.
I love him. Because he wins a tournament every like 10 years or so. And you're like, isn't he 70 years old? How did he win this PGA tournament?
True that. Anyways, Raymond Floyd. Let's do one more.
Mark O'Meara.
Mark O'Meara. Anyway, so I remember all I had to do was sign up, and you got a free round at Point Grey.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. So I remember that, and I remember, like, finishing, handing in my scorecard, and I remember, like, the two coaches looking at me like, really? And anyway, so I made it, because literally all you had to do to make the team was to sign up.
But did they congratulate you for finishing the round?
I don't remember. I just remember, like, I had a couple friends who were playing.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I'll go play. And I had my own clubs. And we went out and we played and I shot about 120. And there was one day I got a call. I'm like, Daryl, we need you to play. I'm like, okay.
And it's for everything.
It's for the Daryl, South Dakota call. They need you down there. Anyways, it rained that day.
Oh, no.
And I didn't get to play. Which, looking back, because I didn't care.
Right.
And looking back, it would have been amazing.
Yes.
Going out and playing, like, some team from Richmond. And, you know, the guy's a scratch golfer.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there asking him, did you smuggle in any hard liquor to this thing? I don't know. I would have shot, like, 130.
Wait. So, if you were playing another school, would you guys actually play the full 18 holes?
Yeah, of course. I don't know how. I never got to play, but...
So, that would be, like, what, 5 hours later?
That's what I wonder. Is like, looking back, how amazing it would... Like, I would have shown up. I would have, like, you know, whatever. Who cares? And I would have shown up. It just sucked. But I would have played. And I would have played. I remember I went and tried out for my golf team, and I made it as an alternate, shooting 120. Who knows what I actually shot? Because I probably picked up, like...
wasn't there anyone watching you?
I'm telling you, it was pre-Tiger. Like, it was the pre-Tiger.
Things were different back then.
Things were different. To make the golf team, you just signed up on a sheet and like, this looks like fun. I got nothing to do. Let's get a free round at Point Grey.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I don't regret it. But too bad it rained that day. I should have pushed. I really want to play, coach. I really want to play. Like, another day. Anyways, it doesn't matter. We're going to finish off with Mr. Belvedere, extended opening. What do you think?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Wasn't that...
Hey, thumbs up for Mike from Flex.
Now, wasn't Mr. Belvedere one of the theme songs that you played on that Canucks...
Contest
show.
Yeah, we had Curb Your Enthusiasm, True Blood, I think, Californication... Nobody had any idea what this was, right?
No, I don't think so.
This is, what would you say, top two things of the 80s that took place in the world?
Well, there was Golden Girls.
No, I'm talking everything.
Oh, everything.
Yeah. So Golden Girls, Mr. Belvedere. Then, what else happened in the 80s? Mike, what happened in the 80s? Get over here. We need help here. Mike with Flex Your Head coming in. He'll be after me.
You had Elf.
We had Elf in the 80s.
Punky Brewster.
Blossom?
He's not.
Cosby sure. Show. No, you know what? You know what the 80s had?
Night Court.
That's what I was going to say. No, what about the bass line at the beginning of Night Court?
Those two sticks they used at the end.
Dan Fielding, is he one of the more unappreciated sitcom characters historically of all time?
I think so. He was the original.